Speaking of Mayor Eric Adams, want to welcome in Steve Gill, political contributor. Steve, you heard that. So our mayor is inviting Lori Lightfoot's predecessor, or successor rather, Brandon Johnson, Karen Bass from Los Angeles, and Eric Adams to Memphis. And it is only a black mayor invite only to help us find solutions to our crime problem. Rather interesting, Steve.
Yeah, we're going to bring people together. We're going to embrace diversity by embracing segregation and only talking to people who agree with us. Again, everything this mayor is doing in Memphis, that Mayor Adams is doing in New York, that we're seeing in Chicago, that we're seeing in D.C., that we're seeing in these major cities that are falling apart, is they keep doing the same thing that hasn't worked while trying to point the finger of racism at others, blaming those who have not been controlling these cities, controlling the out-of-control poverty that they have embraced with their policies. They're blaming others when they're not willing to do anything different than what keeps producing these horrific results.
And Eric Adams really needs to, exactly to your point, needs to be in the Big Apple, not the Bluff City, because you've got a slain officer. Name is Jonathan Diller. And I was reading the morning paper, and there's two headlines that caught my attention, because both President Trump and President Biden will be in New York City today. Trump will attend the wake of the slain NYPD officer. Again, Jonathan Diller is the name. While President Biden is expected to bring out the celebrities at a high-dollar fundraiser with Obama and Hillary Clinton. Now, members of the press asked KJP about this, and here was the official word from this administration. Cut three.
Relates to the death of the officer. Look, our hearts go out to this officer who tragically lost his life in the line of duty. We're also praying for his family during this difficult time, who now has an empty seat at their dinner table. President Biden is deeply grateful for the sacrifices police officers make to keep our community safe. This shooting is yet another painful reminder of the toll of gun violence, that what it's doing to inflict on families and our communities and our nation. And that's why the president signed more than two dozen executive actions. That's why we're able to pass a bipartisan agreement to deal with the gun violence that we're seeing in this country. Obviously, more work needs to be done. We need Congress to continue to act on making sure that our communities are safe. Again, our hearts go out to this officer and his family. It's a difficult time for them.
So she doesn't know the officer's name, and instead of blaming the thug who was not legally allowed to own the gun, he had 21 arrests, including 9 felonies. Who does she blame? She blames the gun. All too predictable.
Meanwhile, a Democrat liberal judge is wanting to give illegal aliens the right to bear arms. But yeah, while they're here illegally. Yeah, my favorite part is she won't mention the officer's name. Say his damn name, woman. And my favorite part about Eric Adams going to the Bluff City, going to Memphis, he refuses to go to the border because his security team says the border is too dangerous for him to visit. Dude, have you seen the crime reports from Memphis? Have you seen the violence in Memphis? He's going to Memphis, but he's afraid to go to the border?
It's a fair point. Absolutely fair point. All right, I want to get through a couple more headlines real quick, Steve. So Sacramento, California has declared itself to not only be a sanctuary city for illegals, but also transgenders. Their city council passed a resolution which took effect immediately, ensuring that no city resources will be used to criminalize trans people as if they were, let me continue, seeking transition-related care or to cooperate with jurisdictions seeking to enforce laws that criminalize the care elsewhere. Now, here are opponents and proponents on this resolution in cut number 11.
This is your opportunity to show the trans community that they are not alone. This is more than just posturing or friendly words to get votes. This is our lives on the line.
There are a whole lot more people who are experiencing like gender dysphoria and who need gender affirming care, I think, than a lot of folks realize.
We cannot be giving children cross-sex hormones. We can't give them surgeries that will change their sex.
What do you make of it, Steve? Are these the true victims in America?
Well, first of all, will they criminalize the behavior of transgenders? when they, for example, go into a school like Covenant School and shoot up and kill people, when other transgenders commit these vicious, heinous crimes, stabbing and murdering people, as we're seeing far above their percentage of the population, the violence that is probably being exacerbated by the drugs that are being, you know, pushed into their bodies to do this transition, will their criminal behavior be treated as criminal behavior? And the idea that somehow trans are such victims of violence in this country is just not borne out by the facts. If anything's true, it's that transgenders are committing violent acts far above their proportion of the society.
You're exactly right. I mean, if I was a California resident, I would self-identify. Why? Well, because they were giving reparations out in San Francisco to the trans community. It's called the Guaranteed Income for Trans People, providing low-income transgender San Franciscans, with $1,200 each month to address their financial insecurities.
And no wonder, as one of the speakers was saying, there are a lot more trans than you know. It's like, well, yeah, because you're paying them to be trans. If you pay them to be heterosexual, to be law-abiding,
they would be straight
Christian,
dudes,
or Jewish residents, then you'd have a lot more of those. Maybe we ought to start paying people to not be mentally ill.
Leading me to, in your point, the Covenant School shooting anniversary, which was yesterday. So find me shocked and appalled that a Tennessee music venue is hosting a Trans Day of Vengeance concert just days after the one-year anniversary of that school shooting, in which, as you pointed out, a trans-identifying woman killed 3 children and 3 adults. Now, the flyer promoted by several bands say it's going to happen at the Graveyard Gallery in Murfreesboro. They say they're going to use it to raise money for a group that provides gender reassignment surgeries. Now, the Daily Wire has this story. They ask what Transgender Day of Vengeance means, and they said, we're not really advocating for vengeance, but why change the word visibility? Because they crossed out the word Trans Day of Visibility with vengeance. Steve?
Yeah, we're not calling for vengeance. We're just using it, and words matter. We still don't have the manifesto that explains in details what motivated this woman, whether or not she was abused or physically sexually assaulted at that school. There's a lot of speculation that that was the case, and the cover-up is worse than what may be in that manifesto. I would argue that the Trans Day of Vengeance was a year ago yesterday, when whatever vengeful act she took to kill innocent children and adults in vengeance for how she was treated, apparently, that was the Day of Vengeance. That was the Trans Day of Vengeance. And we ought to call it what it was. And the manifesto needs to be unredacted and released now. It's been a year. The authorities say that they are not still investigating the crime. Well, what are they investigating? What's in the manifesto and what was done to this young girl when she was at that school? There is plenty of smoke to justify releasing the full manifesto. And let's get to the bottom of what motivated her and what are they covering up.
It's interesting because in this report by the Daily Wire, they said that their aim is to, with the word vengeance, is to end the genocide against trans people. But if you look at the Department of Justice statistics, the genocide against trans people just does not exist. Okay, so last time we were talking about the riots at the University of Memphis, but it happened at Vanderbilt University, with several students ending up in the jail downtown, several in handcuffs. So it was the group behind the protests was the Vanderbilt Divest Coalition. They're very upset because they are claiming that the president of the school is supporting Israel and they want the university to divest. So what they do, they actually break into Kirkland Hall. They assault an officer. And now they're crying victim because they believe their voices were silenced. Now, here's one freshman. His name is Jack. He's part of the Vanderbilt Divest Coalition on his arrest. Take a listen in cut number 10.
I went to jail today. I was arrested at about 5 a.m. In my own university. I was handcuffed, brought in the back of a police car, and taken downtown.
Dean.
We've been protesting inside Kirkland Hall to demand that our Chancellor, Daniel Diermeier, reinstate a referendum to divest our student government funds from a genocide ongoing in Gaza, to listen to student voices and stop the suppression of pro-Palestinian organizers on this campus.
During the sit-in, students say they were denied access to food, water, and bathrooms, resulting in some who had to get resourceful in relieving themselves. That's before four of the students were arrested Wednesday morning, one charged with vandalism and the other three charged with assault.
Inside was far better than what I experienced at Kirkland. I was given access to water. I was given access to a bathroom. Imagine that. A student going to jail and having better access and more humane living conditions than that of a top 20 university in this country.
All right, Steve. Take a stab, my friend.
Yeah, you know, if I break into your house, how dare you not let me have access to your refrigerator and the bathroom and make sure that the toilet paper is the really thick, comfortable kind. If you don't want to go to jail, don't commit a crime. I mean, these are supposedly smart students. You know, maybe they were admitted to Vanderbilt under a DEI plan where they're really not very smart. But if you commit a crime, if you vandalize a building, if you urinate inside that building rather than the bathrooms that might have been down the hall.
Yeah, they were peeing in the building.
Get arrested.
Good point. They were peeing in the building.
Yeah, you assault the cop. By the way, a reporter covering this was arrested from the Nashville scene, was arrested by the police so that he could not report what was going on their campus. You know, to me, the assault on the officer was horrific and deserves punishment. The assault on the First Amendment by the Vanderbilt security detail and by Vanderbilt University shows that it is a top-tier university in its own mind, but not in respect to respecting the Constitution, respecting rights, and respecting truth in the First Amendment. It is a second-tier university embracing these radical students. And parents, before you send your kid there to spend 50, 60, 70 grand a year running up student debt that they'll be whining about that we ought to be paying for years from now, think about real colleges and universities that respect our country, respect our laws, and respect the Constitution.
Well said. Going to leave it there. You know, it's good to see Nashville in the news for once. It's typically Memphis, so I had to take a stab at your city. Steve, thanks for dropping by.
Thanks, my friend.